We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
This is a special presentation
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9, here's Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
Hey, welcome back. You're tuned to the Killer Bees 2.0. Hey, listen, Brian, Jeremy has to hear this. He has to hear this.
He won't. I mean, we could tell him, but he won't hear it on his own.
No, I'm saying, like, we have to chop it, clip this up.
Oh, okay.
And then in the middle of his show, in the middle of him and Joe's show one day.
Just play it.
Just be like,
just
hey.
Play you calling us the Killer Bees 2.0.
Or when they're coming back.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Once again, you tune into the Killer Bees 2.0. I am Big Sarge. That's B-Mac right there. We're live at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House. Brian, we were talking about LeBron James and how he's the GOAT, especially of this era. And we were talking about, you said Booker T said what?
Only two reasons to do things, checks and championships.
Checks and championships,
so
right?
So my question to LeBron, and this is based off something Keyshawn Johnson said on the All the Smoke podcast, was just questioning not like, don't come back, but what are you coming back for? Because if he goes to the Warriors, you can't tell me he's serious about winning a title. So if you're not coming back to win a title, and you're taking mid-level exceptions to go to these teams, you're not taking the check or the championship, what's your motivation? Why are you coming back? What are you trying to prove? What do you have left to prove if you're not trying to win a championship or pick up another big check?
Because, and the reason why I said that that Booker T is off.
Yeah, you said he was wrong. These are the words of Big Sarge.
Hey, I'm not afraid.
Me, listen. Brian McDonald, full government name, loves you.
Because as soon as he bucks up to me, I'm just going to fall and urinate on myself and then go to court.
Why'd you say urinate on yourself?
It looks better in the okay. in the suit.
I just don't, why'd your mind instantly go there? Like, I need to urinate myself.
Because it looks better when I go to court. Right, like, well, you did what?
I don't know if it looks better.
You made this if man make, soil if himself.
It might make your case better. It doesn't make you look better.
Well, I need you to record it and it go viral, too, so they can be like, Booker T, I can't believe you did that.
Huh? Am I getting a cut? I'm not going to record unless I'm getting a cut. What's my cut?
No, because you would side with Booker T. You would lose it all of a sudden.
I would side with Booker T.
So, he's that being said, the first thing he said, checks. Brian, how are checks generated in this day and age, especially with a player like LeBron James? Content, right?
Sure.
Content. So, the attention that we spoke of is what he's going to do. This farewell tour that he's going to be on is going to be documented. He has been documenting himself over the last 3 years, right? Bronny's been in the league, what, a year?
Two seasons? I think 2 seasons.
Okay, so right before Bronny came into the league, he made sure that he started documenting and had people follow him around more. And then Bronny came into the league, and they filmed. And then last season, they filmed. So in his farewell season, he's filming. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to either sell that to the highest bidder, he may sell it to Netflix, or he may put it out on his own. Either way, this attention that he's going to get on his farewell tour is going to be all about content, because we live in a social media-driven era, and it's going to get clipped up, and everybody's going to talk about it, and that's how he's going to get the money. He has – listen, I don't put my hand in another man's pocket, but if I had to guess, LeBron has enough money – that his grandchildren are still going to be able to live off of.
For sure.
Right? So he's not looking at it that way, but if he can make the money and he can get the attention because he loves attention, that's where the check is going to come in.
I would push back and say, though, he could get that regardless. Like, even if he did retire,
it's a media company, Brian.
I know, but I'm not telling him to retire. But, like, okay, let's just say hypothetically he did retire. he could still get movies and documentaries and all that stuff made about him. Like, he doesn't have to come back for some ego-stroking farewell tour to get a movie made about him or a documentary made about him.
Really? Because let's just say LeBron retired tomorrow.
You're telling me they wouldn't make a documentary about him?
They would, but where would the footage of him getting his praises in Madison Square?
The previous 23 years.
Hold on. The last game LeBron ever plays in Madison Square Garden, right?
Yeah.
You don't think that that's going to be, like, an event?
Well, sure, but you're telling me the documentary couldn't be made without it?
What is he going to do for his last year in the regular season?
Yeah.
It's going to be different. You don't think that
It could end with him getting swept by the Thunder.
Right. But it's not. But every arena that he goes into is going to be his final game. They're going to do something for him, and that's going to be documented. If he stopped now, all he has is
record. Documentary without that?
Yeah, you can't. But it's going to be better if you have that.
It's going to be better because when he comes here, we're going to give him cowboy boots. The documentary is going to be better.
If you let LeBron sit down with an iPad and be like, man, I remember this is the Mecca. Madison Square Garden is the Mecca of basketball.
He could do – okay, so now you're putting him like in the Michael Jordan, like last stance, he's in the chair?
Yes.
So he couldn't talk about Madison Square Garden being the Mecca in the chair like Michael Jordan without coming back a year?
He could, but he doesn't have the footage of him being.
I think you're overrating that.
No, what, Brian? We live in the content era.
Yeah, but he's got 23 years of content.
Yeah, he doesn't have 23 years of content of his last game. What was the name of the documentary for the Bulls?
Last Dance. What? That's not a victory lap for you.
that's the last. So this is LeBron's last dance. This is his last.
Would Michael Jordan have done this?
No, but Michael Jordan is different. First of all, Michael Jordan wouldn't have been able to survive in a social media era. His temperament is too bad. They have two totally different temperaments.
And yeah, LeBron's definitely more corporate.
When LeBron came in, it was a social media.
He was more business. About the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Michael was, you're going to get a quote if I give you one. You're going to be able to get an interview out there if I give you one. Everybody didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Put it up in his
different
face.
Different world, for sure.
LeBron gets a cell phone put in his face. When he did his the conference that he did the other day with Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, where he got mad at something said on the Rich Eisen show, which is in this time slot.
He sat down, right, and he was being filmed even on that. So all I'm saying is that attention – that he's going to get is going to equate to dollars. To him, you don't think Rich Paul is saying, hey, we need this. Rich Paul is probably advising, saying, you know how much money that we can make? Yes, Brian. Think of it from social media.
So he's doing it for the check. That's your contention.
The check is the attention and the content. That's what I'm saying. The content will come from the attention that he's seeking for him retiring. That's where the money – I'll put it like
all
this.
All right, if that's the check, I guess my question would be, does he need another check?
Brian, you say that – so who do you – what person do you know? You think Elon Musk says, I got enough money.
You know,
nobody says they have
enough
money.
Yeah, everybody wants the extra dollar. I get it.
Right,
it's capitalism.
Now,
I'm fine with that.
Good. Now, getting back to the teams, right?
Yeah.
The teams that you said
Sixers, Cavs, Heat, Warriors. Those are the teams on the odds board.
If he goes to any of these teams, let's just hold on.
So if you didn't hear it, there was a take on the Rich Eisen show. I guess it was earlier this week or last week. Chris Brockman, one of the guys on the show, said that whoever LeBron goes to is a play-in team.
Yes.
So LeBron got mad at that. Yeah, he mentioned it apparently as extra motivation. I disagree with that take, although it's just funny because that show doesn't have a lot of hot takes, and it's funny that one caught this much, so much attention that LeBron's talking about it. But I do think of those four teams mentioned, Warriors, Heat, Cavs, and Sixers, the Sixers and the Cavs could win a title with LeBron because they have so much talent there already.
Let's leave the Cavs
for
last.
You disagree with – you don't think any four of them, right?
No, I do not. Let's leave the Cavs for last because going back to the Cavs is more nostalgia.
That's a good roster, though. Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell.
You think
Jared Allen. That's a good roster.
For nostalgic purposes, we're going to leave that – right, we'll leave the Cavs last. Let's start with the Warriors,
Yeah.
So now
you can't win a title there.
You cannot because
we're in agreement there.
Steph is going to be good, but
he's
got an old Draymond. Well, Steph can still.
Steph is already old.
Yeah, and Steph can still shoot.
He can, but he plays 30 games a year.
Right. So now you got an old Draymond, you got an old Jimmy Butler, and you got an old LeBron James.
Yeah, they can't win a title.
If he goes there, he's just going there so he can play with Steph Curry.
Yeah, 100%. Cross them out.
There's not enough basketball in Philly for them to win a title if LeBron James comes.
But LeBron's already a facilitator.
But they're already they already got a two facilitators, actually. They're already.
Yeah, but if the contention is there's not enough basketball to go around, like LeBron doesn't mind passing the ball.
Okay, so here's the thing. You already have
you got Jalen, you got VJ Edgecombe, you got Embiid.
And Tyrese Maxey.
Who is
the best player on that team? Tyrese Maxey is the best
better
player.
Better than Jalen Brown?
Yes.
All right. Put that aside. Like, that's a ton of – you add four really good players, and you're adding LeBron to it?
And you add LeBron.
That team can't win a title?
You know, so LeBron doesn't want – so now you're saying LeBron is coming and he doesn't want to take a shot.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but you could work that out.
He's a great facilitator,
LeBron,
but he's
will
also
still get
a scorer.
His 15 shots a game.
And so if he gets 15, then who suffers? Whose game is going to suffer? Embiid has to have the ball.
Yeah.
Jalen Brown has to have the ball.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey has to have the ball. VJ Edgecombe can suffer because you could be like, you're the young guy. You're going to get your time.
It's probably VJ.
Yeah, but you're not taking shots away from Tyrese Maxey. You're not taking shots away from Jalen Brown.
Definitely not Brown or Embiid. Embiid and Brown are going to get their shots for
so
sure.
So that's why I said,
I don't think LeBron would mind conceding to them.
Philly, Heat.
So you really don't think they could win a title with LeBron?
The 76ers?
Yeah.
No.
They're already in the second round this year.
They're already
two series wins away from reaching the finals?
Because here's the thing.
I know they got worked by the Knicks.
At some point, LeBron's body's going to break down on him. And this could be the year that his body breaks down on him. And now he's not playing. You already don't have Embiid. How many games are you penciling in Embiid?
Yeah, probably like 50. Yeah.
Right. So now you got VJ, Tyrese Maxey, and Jalen Brown, which is good. Right,
which is a good start.
Which is a good roster,
right?
That's
a pretty good start.
But how can that roster hold up? And at what point will they finally click? And when they
injuries,
do click, how
that,
well will they be in the standings?
That the injuries is a fair question. I guess my only pushback there, because I can't dispute the injury concerns with Embiid, and obviously LeBron's 42. But I guess my pushback would be, like, I think in the East, the Celtics have taken a step back, right? They were one of the they were the second seed last year.
Yes.
Yeah, I think because Pistons were the first seed. Like, no one preseason thought the Knicks were going to win a title.
No.
So I think the East is in a shape where it's not so obvious who the two or three teams that could win a title are. Mm-hmm. So I think LeBron with Jalen, with Embiid, with VJ Edgecombe, with Tyrese Maxey, they could win a title. I'm not saying they're the favorites or that they will, but I think they can.
So you think that team has enough to beat a healthy Oklahoma City team or a healthy San Antonio Spurs team in the finals? I don't think they have enough. I don't think they have enough to beat the OKC.
I mean, if you could get through, I mean, the Knicks, you could everyone said that about the Knicks last year. No one thought they were going to beat the Spurs.
Well, the Knicks.
No one thought they could beat the Thunder if the Thunder had gotten through.
The Knicks benefited from the fact of what I feel like every team that wins a championship does. They benefited from health.
Yeah.
They were healthy.
They were healthy.
They were the healthiest team throughout the entire.
Spurs were definitely less healthy.
The OKC. If OKC's healthy, they're playing OKC in the finals. They're not playing San Antonio. If OKC's healthy.
Yeah, Jalen Williams being hurt.
And they lost their point guard, too.
Oh, sure.
So, all I'm saying is that, so I don't think they could do it. The Heat.
I don't think they can win a title.
Because I don't trust that. I don't think that Giannis still has enough in him to push them over the top.
And I don't like that. I don't like that team construction. Like, if your top three, and maybe I'm forgetting someone on the roster, but if your top three players are LeBron, Giannis, and Bam, I don't think you have enough 3-point shooting.
Right, because you got three players.
I don't like that roster construction.
You got three players who need the same space.
Yeah.
So just
I don't like that roster construction.
Yeah, with Philly, you got three players who need the ball. In Miami, you got three players who need the same. They operate effectively in the same space. So if you bring in LeBron, and they don't have a really good roster, period, outside of Bam and outside of Giannis.
Yeah, they traded their depth to Milwaukee.
And they don't have anybody. So now, last team before we go to the break.
Cavs.
The Cavs, right? We're talking about the Cavs. Now, I look at Donovan Mitchell. James Harden has gotten a little bit older.
Yeah, and he's not officially on the roster, but we think everyone thinks if they get LeBron, he'll opt back in. Or not opt back in, but he'll resign.
So now you got LeBron, you got James Harden, you got Donovan Mitchell, you got Evan Mobley.
And Jared Allen,
yeah. Right? They lost.
That's a pretty good roster.
But they lost one of their key guys. What's the guy's name, the white guy's name that played backup for them?
I can't think of it right off
Colton,
the bat. If you know the name, jump in.
Yeah, he left their team, one of their really good backups that could shoot. But with that being said, I think that the Cavs, it would be more nostalgia, right? I think that's more
certainly
nostalgia
with LeBron and James Harden. That's nostalgia. But I mean, Evan Mobley is a young player. Donovan Mitchell's still young-ish.
So now you're depending on James Harden to take you over the top. You depend on James Harden and LeBron to take you over the top.
Yeah, LeBron would be the guy putting you over the top, not Harden.
So year 24, you think LeBron could put you over the top? Because if he could, he would have put them over the top against OKC.
No, that was a Lakers team without Luka, though. Like, the Cavs have their other stars.
So they're going to be a team with just him and Donovan Mitchell, really?
No.
James,
I think you're discounting Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
How good did they play in the playoffs? Because they went to the Eastern Conference Finals and got swept, right?
Yeah, the Knicks were running through everybody.
They got swept.
Yeah, they were running through everybody.
So you're telling me, so with LeBron on the team, game six.
But right there, they were one series away from reaching the NBA Finals.
LeBron, they got swept.
So? That's last year. Are the Knicks going to be as good?
They're running it back.
But things, but we said
they only lost one person.
Hold on, though. How many different unique champions have we had in a row? Was it 9 straight years with a unique champion?
The Cavs won't be one. I tell you that.
I think, I'm not saying they're the favorite or they will. I'm just saying they're capable of winning a title with LeBron.
So, with that being said, you think that Cavs team that got swept?
I do.
In Eastern Conference Finals.
I just think the NBA, maybe more so than any other league, is set up for parity.
They will not. They could not beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in a 7-game series. They could not. They can't. They probably can't beat this. They probably can't beat the Spurs.
We said the same thing about the Knicks.
We all said the
same thing about the Knicks. No one was picking the Knicks.
You know what?
No one was picking the Knicks.
I'm going to go out on a limb, which, you know, Sarge always does.
No one outside the city of New York was picking the Knicks.
Brian, I'm going on record. Get closer to whatever apparatus you're listening to. I know I'm loud, but I'm about to be louder. Brian, even if LeBron goes to the Cavs, right? They can't even beat the Dallas Mavericks.
That is, the Mavericks aren't going to be in the finals, so what would that matter?
If they can't beat the Mavericks, they can't beat the Spurs, and they can't beat the Thunder.
That's a ridiculous take.
With Kyrie and Cooper Flag?
Yeah.
And all those long wings that they have?
No, they weren't even in the play-in last year.
Yeah, because Kyrie was hurt.
So? Kyrie's old, too.
Kyrie is still better than James Harden.
Off of multiple serious injuries.
He's still.
How many games?
And I'm a James Harden fan, so don't come after me, James. You know I love you to death, brother. I'm a James Harden fan, but he played bad.
This is a bizarre take. They won 26 games last year, Sarge. What are you talking about?
They dealt with a lot of injuries, too.
Okay, so that's going to make up 30 games?
And they had – was Cooper Flagg a rookie last year?
Yeah. So Kyrie coming back
– He's a rookie of the year, too.
So Kyrie coming back and Cooper Flagg taking a step up is going to get
– They got a new coach.
20 extra wins?
They got a new coach. They got another good rookie, national champion out of Michigan. They got a lot of good defenders. You know, during the break, let's look at the roster.
I hope to God we get Cavs Mavericks in the final, so you and I can make a bet. I will take that bet all day long.
Hey, listen, checks and championships. Hey, Brian, when we come back,
what I learned in this segment is you're a big fan of Dallas sports teams. All right, that'll do it for this segment.
I'm not even a Mavericks fan. I just think that I don't think they could beat them. But
Cowboys fan,
definitely a Cowboys fan. Yeah, definitely a Cowboys fan. But Brian. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you why the Astros trading Lance McCullers away will be the reason they won't win a championship at least for the next 4 years.
Okay. I'm glad I'm sitting down because I would have fallen over. I'm anticipating this take.
We're going to have to bring Lexi in on this segment because I know that her heart still hurts.
She's in mourning. Lance McCullers was her guy.
Lexi. Lance McCullers?
Yeah, she just made a sad puppy dog face. She's so sad. Astros broke her heart.
We're broadcasting live right here at East River 9 at the Birdies Ice House. That is B-Mac. I'm Big Sarge. We'll be back.
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now back to Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
Be back.
Oh, it's so good that the camera's not on right now because you're out here trying to two-step.
I can really two-step, though.
Can you?
Yeah. Oh. My wife's a huge George Strait fan.
Is she?
I can honestly say I've seen
George Strait. So this is George Strait? That was my guess.
I don't know if this is or not.
Colton, is this George Strait?
This is.
No, this isn't George Strait. No, this isn't. No,
this I don't know. I'm asking.
No, no, no.
I'm not a big country fan.
He doesn't sing
fan.
This song.
Okay. All right. It is?
I didn't think he sung that song.
Your George Strait card just got pulled.
I'm not a George. All right, listen, my wife.
Oh, your wife is okay.
Huge,
like, huge.
Remember when he came to the NRG? Well, Reliant now.
Yeah, he played out. He closed the rodeo a few years ago, right?
We went. I was there.
Did he also do a big show at Kyle Field a few years ago?
Yeah, he did. But yeah, my wife's a huge George Strait fan. Dang, I'm glad she's not listening right now. I think she really is. She's probably gonna be like, I can't. How dare you embarrass me? With the millions and millions of people listening, you didn't know that? I know the song. I didn't know it was George Strait. Because there's a lot of times we'd be in the car and we'd be listening to, like, The Highway or The Prime Country. I don't know them. I don't know who's singing. Hey, who's singing that? Who's singing that?
Yeah.
She knows all
I mean,
the
it's
words.
Right there on the screen for you.
Yeah, I'm on my phone on another screen.
Okay.
All right, Brian.
Yeah, you're about to hit me with a crazy Lance McCullers thing. Go ahead.
So here's my thing, right? And this is why
Get the ejection button ready.
Because, Brian, what you have to learn about me, what you have to learn is, like, I'm married to an attorney. So sometimes I speak in semantics, right?
Okay.
You didn't hear me say that they won't win because Lance McCullers pitching. I didn't say that. I didn't say that that the Astros wouldn't win another title because they don't have Lance McCullers on the mound. I just said they wouldn't win another championship because they traded Lance McCullers, right? For at least 4 years.
All right, I'm waiting for the explanation.
What the Astros lack, Brian, is swag. They don't have any swag. Who said in March of
Swag wins championships?
Hey, who said in March 2022, bury me in the H?
Lance McCullers.
After Carlos Correa went as a free agent, signed with the Minnesota Twins, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he signed with the Mets and the Giants and then the Twins,
well,
yeah. There was a lot going on in there that got him to the Twins, but yeah.
And so what went viral? I still have a T-shirt that says bury me in the H, right?
Yeah, so does Joe. He wore it the other day.
Right. So with that being said, right, when the scandal, when the trash can scandal and all that went on, right?
Right.
One of the things that propelled the Houston Astros to where they was is that you had certain guys come out and say, I don't give a damn. Carlos Correa
was the biggest one, yeah. Like,
I don't give a damn.
Shut the bleep up. He was talking to Cody Bellinger. Yeah.
Yeah, Lance McCullers was like, I don't give a damn, right? I don't care. Bregman was like, hey, bro, okay, cool, right? They had players on that team that was like, that had that bravado, that machismo, that swag about them. Lance McCullers is gone. The only person you have left is Carlos Correa. He's hurt. He's going to come back next year. But you look at the Rockets, when you look at the Astros, tell me who you look at and be like, damn, they got swag.
Hunter Brown's got swag. It's a different type of swag, but he's got the bravado.
Right. Look at the Dodgers. Mookie Betts got swag.
I guess.
You guess.
Mookie Betts got
swag.
He's kind of plain.
Freddie Freeman don't have swag to you?
No.
What?
He's confident.
That's swag, Brian. That's swag.
I don't see Freddie Freeman like swag.
Let me tell you.
That's not the word I think of when I look at Freddie Freeman.
Let me tell you who.
It's a corporate attorney. That's what I see when I see Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman got swag, bro.
I guess.
And he got it from when he was in Atlanta, but that's another story for another time.
Well, the ATL.
When I look at the Astros, right? I look at Jeremy Pena. He has swag on the field, but off the field. Nothing.
Oh, I don't know, man. He's doing all those commercials. He's got swag. He's up on the billboards with that law firm, Lee or whatever. He's doing the Raising Cane's commercials. He's talking for Taqueria Rondas.
I'm not allowed to say that.
I know.
No. My wife used to work for him.
Oh, that law firm?
The leader.
The leader.
Right. But with that being said, though, I'm like, you look at it. Jose Altuve, no.
He leads by example. He's not vocal.
Who plays first base? Walker?
Christian Walker, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Paredes? No.
No, he's a quiet guy.
Even when you look at Yordan.
He's a lead by example, yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, he's not a vocal guy.
People laugh at me when I say this, but even Shohei Ohtani has a certain swag about him that when he steps to the plate, it's like, If I get out, if I strike out, fly out, ground out, pop out, it wasn't because of you. It's because of me. It's because of whatever I did. My mechanics was wrong. You should never beat me. I think that he steps into the plate and he looks at a pitcher like, bro, you really don't have a chance. The only chance you have is if I mess up. But he walks up with like,
I think Yordan walks up like that.
A certain like bravado.
I
think Yordan walks up like that now.
Well, yeah, sure.
It took a while.
Though, right?
Shohei been doing that since day one. And okay. He from the mound, too. And from the plate.
But that's what matters is now.
But with that being said, right, I just look at them like, who's going to make a statement? Like, who from the Astros will be like, you say, that he got it right there, bro. He one of them ones.
I hear what you're saying, though.
Their home run championship kinda, celebration is dull. But it's boring.
Yeah, but that kind of, I hear what you're saying. And you definitely need guys with confidence and bravado and swagger. Guys that can forget the next, you know, kind of like corners have to do. Like, they never remember the previous play. They always believe they're the best guy on the field at all times. You definitely need that. I'm not discounting that. But I think overall talent is so much more important. And the reason they're not going to win a World Series, I think you said next 4 years, is because they don't have talent. Like, it's like the farm system only has two top 100 prospects. They're not particularly close to the major league level. And the major league roster is old and not that talented to begin with. Altuve's old. Walker's old. Correa's old. Like, that's why they're not going to win a championship.
So what do they do at the deadline?
I don't think they do anything.
You don't think they do, or you don't want them to?
Both.
Why?
Because I look at it as, and I felt this way. I think the best example about it was like the Rockets during the like Luis Scola, Kevin Martin era.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you could do is be middle of the pack, right? You don't want to be the 41-41 team, right? You want to be either bad, like the Texans did, and they tanked for Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, or you're great and contending for a title. The worst place is to be in the middle.
You mean tank for C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson?
Yeah. The reason I don't want him to make the move is I think Dana Brown's on the way out. So I don't want him making moves that he's not going to be accountable for. And
you don't want him to Bill O'Brien his thing?
Basically,
gotcha.
Yeah. Basically like that. And I don't think even if they make the move, outside of somehow getting Tarek Skubal, which I don't think is realistic, outside of getting him, they can't contend no matter what move they make. So if the moves
can't – Contend meaning – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
– No, you're fine.
Go to the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay, not make the playoffs, postseason.
Yeah, I think they can make moves to get them to the postseason because they're already like two games out anyway.
The division is terrible, and it has been for a very long time.
But I don't think there's a move outside of Tarek Skubal that makes them a contender, and I don't want Dana Brown handling the rebuild.
Yeah.
So I just want them to stand pat.
So you believe that the Astros are about to go through a rebuild?
At least a partial one, yeah. I don't think
it's – Pre-2017 rebuild?
No, because they're not going to trade Yordan. I don't think they're going to trade Altuve. It's going to be a little bit of a half measure, which I'm not always a fan of. But I think that's probably the direction they'll go. I think they'll try to trade guys like Walker. I think they'll try to trade guys like Josh Hader. Maybe Isak Paredes, although I'd like to see him resign. They'll got to go that route. Probably trade Jeremy Pena because he'll be going to the last year of his contract. Maybe the same with Hunter Brown. But I don't think they're going to literally trade everybody, including the seats out of the stadium like they did in 2011, 2012.
How many more years do you think Jose Altuve has in?
3-4? Now, those won't be high years. Like, he's already way past his athletic prime. You can see it in the stats. Like, he's only hit, like, 230-something right now. A guy that was leading the league in batting average and hits year after year in his earlier part of his career.
At what point do you take him out of the starting rotation?
You treat him like Biggio. You let him chase 3,000. Yeah. Especially if they're not going to be good. Like, what are you pulling him out of the lineup for? Right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it.
I just look at it as, I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, I don't know. I just don't think. When I'm looking at the Astros, do they have the hitting? I do believe that they do have the hitting. I don't believe in the pitching. I don't.
No, I'm with you there. Like, it's Hunter Brown who hasn't pitched well since he returned, but you truly believe, like we truly believe, he's an ace, right? Mm-hmm. After that, it's Tatsuya Imai, who they missed on. It's Mike Burrows, who they missed on. I like Peter Lambert. He's obviously been really good, but you have to kind of feel like, okay, is he a true bona fide two or three in a rotation, or is he just the latest example of guys like J.P. France, Jason Alexander?
Where is J.P. France?
As far as the Astros are concerned, he's dead. I don't know. Like, he got, I forget what injury it was. It wasn't Tommy John, but it was a pretty serious injury he had a couple years ago, and he just never returned to form. But he was never going to be a top guy. He was a 28-year-old prospect when he came up. He just caught lightning in a bottle for 8 starts, and that was it. I think Peter Lambert's better than that, but is he truly someone you're building around for the next 3 to 4 years? I'm not convinced of that. So you're right. Like, there's a lot of problem with the Astros, but starting pitching, especially since you don't have Hunter Brown under contract after, I think he's got 2 years left after this, and you know you're not going to pay him the money. The Astros don't. So what's your starting pitching?
And J.P. France's mustache is always weird to me.
Oh, so good. Do you ever watch the show?
Good?
Well, more in a comical way. Do you ever watch the show Reno 911?
Yes.
He looks exactly like the
one with the shades.
Yes. I wish I could remember the name of that character, but he looks exactly like that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I saw J.P. France, like,
that's one of my favorite shows.
I love it. I can't remember the guy's name.
It wasn't Niecy Nash was on that show.
Niecy Nash was on there.
That's all I remember.
Whitney McCovey.
I don't know any other names.
Okay, all right. That's Thomas Linden was the main guy who wore the short shorts. Thomas Linden was the guy that wore the short shorts.
Was Niecy Nash on the show?
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Okay, I see. I see what you're saying. All right, I see what you're saying. I'm with you now, Sarge. We're eye to eye now. I
gotcha.
I gotcha.
Hey, Brian, after the break, one Houston Rockets player told the fans to kiss his ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I agree with him.
All right. Feels like we're going to have an argument. But that's what we do. That's what we do.
Especially the new and improved version of the Killer Bees.
There you go.
2.0 right here at East River 9. This is going to be a great, great segment.
We're going to you loaded up for a fight?
I hope his mom is listening to it.
We know she is.
We'll be back.
You know that I miss you. I wanna get with you tonight, but I cannot, baby girl, and that's the issue.
You're back with Brian McDonald and Big Sarge
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Final segment here out at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House. I'm Big Sarge. That is B-Mac. Brian McDonald.
Why'd you say it all? Said it all Daniel on me there.
Because I wanted to wait till the end of the show for any woman that's looking for you from your past.
No, I put my full government name out there. I'm not hard to find.
Listen, I just want to be
5353 West Alabama. Come find me.
Hey, look, I'm just trying to help.
All right.
I don't know which one of your crushes is out there saying, oh, he broke my heart in high school.
I don't think there's many of those.
He was supposed to take me to the prom.
And next thing I know, he's.
I'm not sure what's worse, your white guy voice or your teenage girl voice.
Hey, but I don't have a Cal McNair voice.
No. I tried to get you to do one. You declined.
Final segment here, Brian. It's been great. I will say this. I'm looking forward to doing this again.
Yeah, glad that we could reinvigorate the Killer Bee brand.
For sure. I should have brought out my. You know, I have a belt, right? I bought it from Walmart, but it's a little like a
WWE belt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm the champion of sports takes. Like I am the champ of sports.
Self-crowned.
I mean,
who crowned you? Is this like the 24/7 championship you have to defend at all times? Can we challenge you for that right now?
You want to challenge me for it?
I don't know. I mean, you had that
next show.
You had that take on the Dallas Mavericks. I think your title's in jeopardy.
Yeah, hey, listen, I do believe that even with the old LeBron James and James Harden,
Mavericks aren't beating the Cavs in a series.
In a series, they will beat them.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, we can't prove it either way. But you're wrong.
Speaking of things
that
people are wrong about.
Oh, okay.
Brian, a couple of days ago, 2 days ago to be exact. Houston Rockets forward Tari Eason.
Yeah, he had himself a moment.
He sent social media into a tailspin, a whirlwind. Like he had people,
all the words.
He had people so upset. I could imagine, Brian, and this is how old I am. I'm pretty sure that there was a lot of people with their phones in their hands saying, "I can't believe this young man is saying this." So Tari Eason said, "So many opinions on my game, y'all. I swear to God, you couldn't walk a mile in my shoes. Y'all can't even be great at the little things at your own respective jobs. Only no one cares what y'all do." 682,000 likes later.
Right after the man got paid, too.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's weird timing. It's weird timing.
Okay. I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah.
What is your perspective on it?
One, I don't care that he has ill feelings towards crazies on the internet, because who likes crazies on the internet? My two things with Tari is the timing of it makes it seem like he doesn't want to be here. And I'm not even necessarily saying I blame him for that. Like, maybe he wants a bigger role. Maybe he wanted more money. Because he also had a tweet, like, right before he signed with it looked like you had his timeline
I
up.
Guess.
Yeah, the I guess thing.
Yeah.
Like, the timing of that.
I guess, bruh.
The I guess, bruh tweet.
And then he put blessed after that.
I know. But, like, within the context of knowing he turned down a bigger deal last year, maybe didn't get what he thought he was due. We know he wants more playing time. He views himself as a starter. And then you couple that up with going after the fans, makes me believe he doesn't want to be here. That may be overreading it. So that's one take I have. The other take I have is, and I get it, because you want to go back at all the crazies on the internet. And I don't even care that he did necessarily. I would just tell him, if I were advising him, you can't win a fight against the internet. There's no win. You may be 100% the right, and I'm not even debating if he is or isn't. But you can't win a fight against the internet. The people that you're trying to win over, there's going to be people that will be on your side no matter what, like the real diehard fans. They're already on your side. You're not winning them over. The people that are mad at you, they're going to stay mad at you regardless either way. The only people you might be swaying are the people in the middle who might come off as taking a shot at the fans or you know, whiny, you know, the things that people say about athletes, especially when they're paying a lot of money.
It's like trying to win a roasting battle with a comedian who has the microphone.
Exactly. Like
at a comedy club.
There's just no win in fighting the internet. That's one of the things I most firmly believe in this day and age.
Yeah.
You cannot win in a fight against the internet. So that's kind of my two takes with Tari and what happened.
So with that, because your last take is interesting. I definitely understand what you're saying. And this is why one of the reasons why I don't go back and forth with people. I'll just block them. And then people say, "Oh, you're taking the coward way out because you won't go." Well, first of all, I don't even know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you in order to
it's
go back and forth
time.
With you. I respond. If I'm going to go back and forth with somebody, it's going to be with somebody I know. I just told a guy the other day who said something about me. I said, "Hey, man, you know, with all disrespect, I'm married, so stop flirting with me and trying to get my attention."
With all disrespect?
With all disrespect, yeah, okay. And I blocked him. And so, you know, but Brian, my thing is this, is if you're a fan of the Houston Rockets, right, if you're a fan of the Houston Rockets, it's fair and it's open to criticize whatever Tari Eason does on the court.
Yeah.
It's fair to
especially
criticize.
Especially when he made what? He went 2 for the month of March from the three-point line?
Right. He was like 1 for 40 before he had that players-only meeting with him coming out of Memphis.
Yeah, he had a really bad March.
Yeah, but he was going through a lot. See, and this is why I don't go back and forth. This is why I really didn't get into it on this one, but I'll say that. I'll save that for just a second. But, Brian, my thing is, if you want to criticize Tari for being a bad three-point shooter, you want to criticize Tari for his defensive efforts, if you want to blame Tari for the reason why they lost against the Sacramento Kings, was it, where he didn't get out on the three-point line for Schroeder and hit the three?
Was that that one? Or
that
yeah,
was,
maybe so. I don't think
it was Sacramento because that was during
There was also a bizarre game. Remember that bizarre game against the T-Wolves where they were up by like 9 and then
but that wasn't his fault, though.
Okay. I was trying to think of – okay.
No, I was just saying they said that Tari didn't get out quick enough.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I don't remember that one specifically.
That's when they were going through that weird – they losing to these bad teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they lost to Portland during that time as well. Portland,
yeah,
Sacramento.
Sounds right.
They lost to the Pelicans during that time.
Yeah.
They had – they blew a 20-plus point lead in the Pelicans.
The T-Wolves game is the one that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, they blew a 15-point lead.
And then they – not only that, they blew it, went to overtime, and then, like, the Wolves scored, like, the first 13 points of overtime or something
They scored
like that.
The first 13.
Oh, that's
the
what
Wolves
it was.
The Wolves scored the last 15.
Good Lord, that game was
They scored 13 to get back into the game. They went up 13, and then the Wolves scored 15 to win.
Unbelievable.
In two minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But if you want to blame Tari for some of his lack of defensive efforts, if you want to blame Tari for his lack of offense, if you want to blame him for that, then that's cool. You're keeping it to
the court. Yeah.
But anytime you start wishing death upon his mother, you start wishing death upon his brother, anytime you're taking personal shots at him, you want him to die because he messed up your parlay or he messed up your bet, then that's when you've taken it too far, and that's why I'm glad that Tari said what he said. Because at some point, Brian, people have to realize, even though they make millions and millions of dollars, these guys are still human beings. They're still human beings,
yeah,
and they're young human beings in a social media era to where it's anybody has the access to say whatever they want to say about it, but it's only so much you can take. Brian, even in this profession, for me, I scroll through a lot, but there's only so much that I'm going to take. If you're coming at me and you're saying something foul, this, that, and other, I'm going to respond. And after I respond, I'm going to block you because I'm not going to go back and forth with an algorithm. You're ones and zeros to me. Brian, if you really want to get into the minutia of it, if you're scrolling through, right, and somebody says something bad about you, right, take that phrase, go to the internet or go to ChatGPT and tell ChatGPT, put this in the algorithm form. You know what those words are going to turn into? Ones and zeros. Because that's all social media is.
Okay.
So if I sent you a message with just a bunch of ones and zeros and you can't read it, you're going to be like, this stuff is stupid.
Dump button.
Dump button. Yeah, this stuff is stupid, Brian. If you're going to say that, this stuff is stupid. So at a certain time, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, hey, man, I can't I put myself in Tari's shoes. How much criticism can he take away from the court?
See, I hear what you're saying.
One more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Because fans think that they have a lot of power, but they be the same ones crying. They don't. But they be the same ones crying about having to pay for streaming services to watch games and all these other things, and they'll be like, we pay your salary. Actually, you do not. There's so many other things that goes into paying a player's salary before a fan's ticket does. A fan's concession. A fan's parking.
Sure, it's not necessarily a fan ticket that pays their salary. It's fan interest. Because it's paid from TV dollars, but what drives TV dollars? Eyeballs. So, I mean,
the potential of eyeballs.
Yeah, but it does come to, like, if there are no fans, there is no money. So, I mean, they're not. It's that I don't want to dig too much into my.
They ran a
there.
League with nobody in the stands, Brian. The Lakers won a championship with nobody in the crowd, but
that
family.
That wasn't because of COVID, though. That wasn't because the fans walked
still,
away.
Still, they showed that they could do it
on a one-year basis. Yeah. They're not going to do that every year.
Not every year. They could get away with it for a complete year.
And not even a full season. That was a shortened season. But I get what you're saying, and obviously the people that send those messages to Tari, send them to his mom, send them to whoever is involved in this, are wrong for doing so. But that, I still go back to the point I made earlier before you began, in that Are they wrong? Yeah, 100% they're wrong. Should they say that? No. But what are you going to win by fighting them?
What are you winning by saying you hope my mom dies?
I'm not defending them. They shouldn't say that.
But so as a man, he has to like that's his.
As a man, it's a faceless person on the internet. You're not getting any revenge,
right?
You're not gaining anything from the tweet that he sent. He may be completely justified, and I believe he is, because people shouldn't send him those messages. But you're getting zero win out of sending that tweet.
So with that being said, he didn't address anybody specifically either.
Which makes it kind of worse, in my opinion.
How? Because you just said you're not winning if you're going back and forth with a faceless knight.
100%. But I would respect it more if he had receipts. I'm not doubting him. I'm not saying he's lying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But, like, if he's like, hey, fans like this aren't true fans, and he's got, like, four screenshots of tweets that he's been sent, I would respect that more than vague booking. Because he came off like those people on Facebook, like, I'm really going through something today. Because they want you to engage with them, like, oh, what's wrong?
Well, you know where the receipts come from, though, Brian? The responses. That's the receipts. The responses to what he said.
Yeah, but
he didn't say anything specifically.
That's not what the tweet was from, though.
The tweet said fans. If you're not that type of fan, then you shouldn't have nothing to say. But if you're that type of fan, you responded.
Yeah, no.
And now he called you out. You brought your own self to the forefront, right?
Yeah.
You brought your own self to the forefront. That's all I'm saying, that I agree with what he said.
Do you think he wants to be here?
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt.
I can see him being traded in season.
One of the reasons why I'm defending Tari so
much. Now that he's got a contract, I think he's traded in season.
One of the reasons why I'm defending Tari so much is because I know what goes on behind the scenes and what's going on behind the scenes with him and what has been said behind the scenes to him and his family. Like, it's, Brian, it's some stuff that you say.
Yeah, but
somebody should get punched in the mouth for that.
Every athlete gets that. Lance McCullers has got that. We brought him up. He's received death threats.
Right.
Every athlete gets that.
So
that's my point. Like, random faceless people on the internet are going to say this to every athlete for the rest of our lives. It's not going to stop. You can't win.
You're right. But if Tari was responding to somebody specifically, I'd see your point. He just said fans. And then those fans are the ones who revealed themselves. He didn't say any names, and that's not vague.
What's the win for Tari?
The win for Tari is he was able to get that off his chest.
Do that in therapy. Do that with your family. Do that with your friends.
Social media is therapy for a lot of people, Brian.
I know, but if you vent to your friends, you're not possibly losing public. Because he's going to lose in the eyes of some.
No, but who cares, though? Who cares? Listen, if you're
that's,
not a
Well, that's kind of the point. Who cares?
So, what I'm saying is that he revealed those people who are the ones that he was talking about, and that's why I'm glad that he did it. Brian, it has been an amazing time.
Yeah, been fun, man.
Yeah,
good 3 hours. Flew by.
For sure. And
Will Conkle, Joe George up next.
Yeah.
Don't tell Joe I gave Will first bill.
Hey, Joe, he said Will's name first. I would have said your name first only because
Will Conkle and Joe George up next. Yep. Newsman and Joe up next.
Tune into the Killer Bees 2.0, both Brian's with an I.
Yeah, we spell it correctly.
Right here at East River 9, man. It's been amazing. Hey, up next, I don't know what they're calling their shows, but Joe George, because you got to say the boss's name first, and Will Conkle come to you live. I hope Will addresses what we talked about with Tari Eason.
Oh, he did yesterday.
I'm out.